Matt and Kimber's Crack the Code.
Crack the Code.
With Perth Safety Deposit Boxes.
Hello and welcome to the podcast, you little legend. Look at you there. Look at you.
Look at you.
Look at you.
Just slipping in here and getting all the best bits of the show.
Yeah. Couldn't be bothered getting up. Yeah. Just thought, no, I'll wait. I'm gonna listen at one.
Here's the code. 3128. Because that's why you're here, isn't it? For the Crack the Code code.
3128.
If you don't know what that is, Crack the Code. You could score yourself $10,000, a gold bar, with a pink argyle diamond inset in it.
Yeah.
So, you know, be part of it.
And if that still doesn't mean anything to you, you may be on the wrong podcast.
Enjoy, and we will catch tomorrow morning from 5:30. Here's the rest of it.
Pete, Matt and Kimber.
It's all happening over in New South Wales at the moment. That's actual audio from a farm. A farmer trying to get a hold of the rat plague that's going on over there.
Oh, can I just say how much I loved Speedy Gonzales as a kid?
Oh, me too.
Oh, loved him.
We grew up in the, just quickly, grew up in a golden era of cartoons.
Oh, yeah.
Those kids, Looney Tunes, Saturday
Isn't
morning.
It's funny how hard
Disney.
It is to watch them back now with different voices.
It is. Yeah.
Well, Mel Blanc did them all, didn't he?
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway. Rodent plague. Biblical.
In it, like, of biblical proportions. Like, we want to hear this morning words like plague, insanity, infestation.
No cheese left.
Yeah, like, don't call, right, if you've just had a mouse running around in the house or you caught one with a mouse trap or something. Like, this is what's going on in New South Wales.
We sort of like we moved the fridge from the back shed and 60 mice ran out.
Oh, not even 60. I'm talking like 600.
Oh,
like,
no. let's say 60's fine. We do need some calls. In fact, 6.
More than one mouse.
Yeah, there's
mouse.
More than one.
So, yes, more than one mouse will do. Okay. All right, I'll settle for that. But because they had a really bumper winter rain and because of that, they've had a great crop. Wheat and grain and all that sort of stuff. But now they're dealing with the byproduct of that, which is being inundated with infestations of mice.
Yeah. On a side note, who wants to be a farmer? Like all year round, all they do is deal with floods, drought, locusts, bugs, insects, mice. Like,
do they ever have a good time? Yeah, I know.
Can farmers ever enjoy their lives?
There's nothing like waking up first thing in the morning and seeing that sunrise, Kimber.
When you dig your hand into the soil and let it fall through your hand slowly to fall to the ground with a little bit of sunlight.
My hearts
through
go
it.
Out to you.
Marge, like the rain's here.
Oh, love a sunburn.
I remember when I was in year one, St. Joseph's in Queen's Park, Miss Harrington, who was our teacher at the time, went around the back for something. I can't remember what it was, but it was like a nook behind the blackboard and moved something. And all we heard was this almighty shriek, this scream. Mm. And then out of that area, we see her run. And then behind her, a mountain of mice chasing after
That's
her.
That's the collective noun, a mountain.
A mountain. And the entire classroom erupted. It was insane. Like, people screaming. I remember one of my mates, Rick, running around trying to stomp on them all. Miss Harrington was up on one of the desks screaming, losing her minds. In come the other teachers from the other room. They've walked in and go, what's going on? Oh, God. It was absolute insanity.
How's this for a story? I was in London. My girlfriend screamed a blood-curdling scream, said rat.
Mm.
I went downstairs. Now, I ain't no hero. And I got two bar stools and like stilts, I was walking around the room trying to find the rat because I didn't want to put my feet on the floor.
Did he say he was no hero?
We want plagues. We want infestations. To be honest with you, we'll take anything more than one. Yeah, I'm just hedging our bets, really.
A couple. Let's add a couple of mice.
Lisa in Jindalee, is it more than two or is it an infestation?
Oh, look, at first, my dad thought he'd buy us a couple of little mice, put it in a cage, which was great, and then we had a massive plague. So anybody who lived years ago in Kambalda West will actually remember this. There was such an infestation. The cats were absolutely exhausted.
And fat.
All fat and happy. It was that bad, though. They were eating everything. I'd hurt my knee, scraped my knee, had a massive scab. They were even in your bed and ate the scab off my neck.
Oh, God. Lisa.
Lisa, were these all because of your two, Matt?
Oh, I don't want to say that.
Oh,
you
okay,
know?
Right.
But you know it's the truth.
Yeah, it was probably my dad. But the only person that was safe in the house is, you remember those cots years ago that were fully framed and they had the metal flywire? And my little sister was in that. And I was like, trust me, I thought about jumping in there and sleeping with her too. Oh, but I can tell you now, they were in our beds everywhere. Like
revolting.
I said, my scab was gone.
Oh, it's God, eating my scab.
That's what I'm talking about, baby. That's what I was after this morning.
That's the name of my book.
Yes, that is peak content. Jade in Ellenbrook, good morning.
Hello.
Hello, Jade. What do you got for us?
Okay, it's not an infestation, but I do have quite a few rats or mice. I'm not sure which one in my roof, but they're currently going through my down into my wardrobe, into my my bedroom and my ensuite, and taking my tampons through the couch.
To the couch?
In a different room. Yes, I cleaned my couch a couple of days ago, and I found this massive... this whole ball of tampons that have been nibbled at the top and nibbled at the bottom and then just left all under my couch.
So they're not even taking them to build a nest or to comfort themselves. They're just...
No, they're just leaving it.
Maybe they think they're mice.
Jade, if it is mice, put some peppermint oil.
Oh.
Or you may as well not waste those tampons. Cover them in peppermint oil and stick them up in the roof and the mice will leave by choice.
Well, that's a good idea.
They hate peppermint oil. So if you just put it on a bunch of cotton buds, stick them in the vents in the ceiling, into the walls, in all your pantries and your cupboards and stuff, they'll just leave on their own.
You never fail to impress me.
If you do that, Jade, just
keep
a
very smart thing.
A real close eye and understanding of which ones have the peppermint oil on them, just in case. Scotty in Byford, g'day.
Hey, guys.
Scotty, have you had a mice infestation?
Well, it wasn't me. It was one of my clients. I'm a pest controller by trade.
Oh.
I was under a house doing a spray for termites, and it was an old house in Fremantle, so it had a concrete waste pipe that had been decommissioned and they'd gone to, new plumbing. Mm-hmm. So I've gone up to it to spray around it for cockroaches and whatnot, and it just a wave of mice came out.
Oh.
And obviously, because it's quite dark under there, I've got my torch, so they've gone straight for the light.
Oh.
They were in my overalls, just crawling all over me, and there was basically no way out.
Now, Scott,
yuck.
I have, because I'm weird, given this some thought, was a little bit tickly in the overalls, or was it just really uncomfortable?
Bit scratchy, I'd say.
Yeah, right.
And Scott, I mean, I know it's probably going to be like mass murder, but how does one get rid of that many rodents?
We don't use peppermint tampons. We use more sort of specialised equipment.
Desperate times call for desperate measures, Scott. Yeah, and if we need a peppermint tampon, that's what we need.
Scotty's here. He's got the peppermint tampons. We'll be right.
Have faith. We must have faith. Yeah.
Ooh, I gotta have faith.
Do not lose your hope.
And while we're waiting for those calls to come through,
I've got something to tell you.
Okay.
I would be the world's worst spy.
Yeah.
Wouldn't I?
I think you might be.
I mean, this game's all about subterfuge and not letting the other person know what the question or the category is going to be. I nearly always give it away.
Yeah, if you haven't heard this before, the game of faith, Pete, you're up today where you're going to answer a general knowledge question.
Yeah. Mm.
And it means that whoever is, creating the questions each week, the other two of us have to kind of do a few secret squirrels.
Mm, yeah.
Well, that wasn't bad.
Yeah.
To work out the question. Almost every time Matt blows it.
Yeah.
Almost every time. Like, he was just about to reveal a really important thing while you were in the room and I had to, shut it down.
Because the awkward thing for me is, as the guy who pushes the buttons, I also have to press the sounds and stuff.
Yes.
Right? So there is a piece of audio here, but I'm not allowed to listen to it. It's been given this generic faith audio title.
You won't need to. Yeah. I'll give you the answer if you just keep your ears open.
Well, someone who wants to play with us today, Mark in Midland. G'day, Mark.
How are you?
Good.
Good, buddy. How are you going this morning?
Yeah, fine, thank you.
Now, Mark, do you know the show well? Are you new to the show? Do you know Pete's sort of general knowledge, understanding? Do you know much about the man?
Yeah, I know all about it.
Oh, okay.
We're going to kick Pete out for a little while.
Mm.
On your bike.
Pete.
Can I take my pizza?
Yeah.
Did you bring pizza?
Yeah.
Standard rule, don't bring in food if you haven't got enough for everyone.
There's four pieces.
Hey.
Okay.
One for you too, Mark.
Okay.
Okay, Mark.
Is it Hawaiian?
Is it Hawaiian?
Oh, is it Hawaiian? Oh,
he can't hear us out there. So, Mark, we can give you the category, and all you have to do is tell us if you have faith in Pete knowing the answer or not. Mm. If you have faith and he gets it correct, you will win. If he gets it wrong, you won't win. Or if you say, I've got no faith in Pete at all, and he stuffs it up, you win the prize.
Yeah. So the question's going to be on the category of movies. What do you think, Mark? You think Pete would know a kind of a general knowledge question around the category of movies?
Yeah, he's a smart man. I'll have faith in him.
Okay.
Let's right. back him. We won't tell him that
we won't
you are.
Dilly-dally. We'll get him in with his pizza.
He took the pizza with him, but he did not open the container and eat any of it. So he just took it for comfort.
Hey, Mark wants to know, was it Hawaiian pizza?
No, Mark. It's just ham and cheese, because I didn't have any pineapple. However, I am a pineapple on pizza kind of person.
Okay, there All we right. go.
Oh, Mark's hung up. He can't stand that. Okay. Yeah. All right.
Okay.
Welcome to the show, Pete.
Thanks. Great to be here.
You give the category?
Oh, sure.
Okay.
The category is movies.
Okay, movies. I like movies. I watch movies. As long as it's Marvel, I think we're good. Okay.
All right. Now, you're going to play my little bit of audio in a second.
All right.
As we know, at the moment at the Crown Theatre, the wonderful production of Priscilla, Queen of the Desert is on. I've got all my life to live. I've got all my love to give. I'll survive. Yeah. There till the 30th of May. Great show. Do yourself a favour. Get out and see it. The movie.
Oh, God.
Mark, the movie.
Don't say anything, Mark, but this is where I hope you have got no faith in me whatsoever. But
give it
all right.
a chance.
Give it a chance.
All right. Okay.
Okay. Kimber.
Okay. Priscilla, Queen of the Desert,
uh-huh.
the film.
Uh-huh.
What was the entire costume budget? Now, I've got a multiple choice for you today.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, all right.
The entire costume budget for the film, was it $20,000?
Uh-huh.
$50,000
uh-huh.
or $100,000?
20, 50, or 100 grand.
The entire costume budget for the film.
It won the Oscar for best costume that year.
Did it?
Yes, it did. Yeah.
And I feel like it's got to be one of those where, because we're talking about it and it's in the pop culture vernacular, I mean, obviously, it is the sort of film where costumes made it. Like blokes in drag.
To give us an answer just yet, but Mark, without saying the answer, would you know the answer to this?
Nah, not a clue.
Okay.
Nah.
This is one of those ones where I kind of go, because we're talking about it and it's out there, it's got to be one of those surprising ones. You know those kind of, when you're sitting around a table with your mates talking about Priscilla, Queen of the Desert, as you do.
As you do, yeah.
You kind of go, did you guys know that it was only $20,000 that they had for the budget, for
did
the costume?
Did you know it was $50,000? Did you know it was $100,000?
I like your thinking.
Yeah. What do you think?
Bugger. Early 90s.
95, won the Oscar.
Yeah, Australian production, breakout film. I'm going to split it down the middle. I'm going to go 50 grand. I'm going to go $50,000 was the budget.
Yeah, okay. Well, Mark, just checking in with you, what would you have wanted to lock in, 20, 50 or 100?
I would have said 20.
20, okay.
Yeah, you would have said 20, Mark.
God, so disappointing, because last week was so exciting, wasn't it, when I just nailed that answer.
It was great when
was
you
really
got it
good.
Correct
it
last
felt,
week,
yeah,
and
yeah.
then Pete's come in it's with this, and I mean, all we can say is, you are incorrect.
You're incorrect.
I'd just like to say that I am consistent.
Well,
I'm going to throw that out there.
You should have gone with your instinct, mate.
Damn it, it was 20, wasn't it?
It was $20,000. Mark was spot on, but Mark, I guess you just got to tell Pete whether you had faith in him or not.
Yeah, unfortunately, I did, Pete.
Oh, mate. Oh,
we've all said that, buddy.
Mark, you are, and
now,
you listen to the show.
I'm trying to get it past that if the listener gets the answer correct when we get it wrong, that they should still win the prize.
Yes,
well,
please.
He did lock in the 20.
And Mark
grand.
Would have locked in the 20.
Come on, Neans, are we doing it? Chicken and Beer Fest tickets on the line?
Let's send him off to the Chicken and Beer Fest.
Right.
There you go, Mark.
There you go, Mark.
Yay.
Have a hot
Thank
win
you
for
very
us.
Much.
Good on
nah,
you, mate.
Thank you for that.
You have a good day.
Thanks
You're welcome.
For playing. And here's a little tidbit for when you're sitting around the table talking about Priscilla, Pete.
Yeah.
The thong dress, the very famous thong dress in the Priscilla
my
movie.
My favourite one.
Cost $17 to make.
Is that right? Really?
The whole film was $2 million to make.
Yeah.
Unreal.
Yeah.
$2 million on a amazing. 20 grand costume
times.
Budget.
So different times.
Now, guys, floating around in the news the last few days, you would have seen Willy Rioli being in trouble for being found with cannabis on him. Now, regardless of where you sit on that side of the issue, whether should he, shouldn't he, whatever, I was just thought it might be interesting to hear from people. What did you make of your second chance?
Okay.
Now, like, I know that Rioli's been given a second chance, I suppose, already, because he'd already been in trouble with the tampering of the sample, the urine sample, and they carried on. And so this might be considered a second slash third chance. But, you know, I guess the idea is if you can keep him in the club and he's a good player and there's a chance to rehabilitate whatever is behind the drug use, then like, something good could come of it.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I think any human being deserves those chances as long as there's, you know, a genuine attempt to grow and change between, you know, incidents. I mean, sometimes you fall off the wagon, but, you know, do you get back off up off the canvas and try again, try and be better, try and learn?
Oh, yeah. And I'm sure there'd be people who have been, you know, had fights with parents and been kicked out of home or been kicked out of the family or had a drug and alcohol addiction issues, all that sort of stuff. If you found yourself in a position where you were pretty down on your luck and people were going to turn on you and then someone reached out and went, tell you what, I'm going to give you an opportunity. I want to see what people did with that opportunity.
Yeah, right.
Did you turn it into
become
something?
An entrepreneur or...
Like, did you turn it around and use that second chance to become something? Sam in Welshpool, morning.
How you going?
Good, mate. How'd you turn it around?
Well, I was a had a bad drug addiction a couple of years back. I had to get rid of my house. Lost my first partner. I had to move away from my kids. Come good. Came back to Perth, found my fiance that I'm with happily with at the moment, and absolutely loving life. Would never touch it again.
Oh, well done, brother.
And who helped you out, Sam? Who gave you that sort of second chance and said, "Come on, we got to sort this out"?
It was more the inside of myself. But once I met my partner, it was just that was it.
Wow,
wonderful,
mate. Can I just ask what it was about your partner now that made you go to change things versus, you know, the fact that you had a partner and you had kids and all of that sort of stuff?
Yeah, beforehand it was just very toxic. Just wasn't the way that I wanted to be. And then once I found my new partner, she just put a new aspect on life for me. She was just a blessing in disguise.
And I think, Sam, also timing is important in these things. Sometimes people come into your life or a message comes into your life when you need to hear it.
That's right. Exactly that.
Well, good on you, Sam. Glad you turned it around, mate.
Erin in Thornley, good morning to you. What did you do with your second chance?
Yeah, hello. I had an addiction to meth for many years. I had my second chance was that I get clean or my parents will keep my kids. So I went to rehab and I got clean. I've been clean 3 years.
Good for you, Erin.
Wow, that's amazing, mate. That is great news.
And Erin, were there times that your parents were kind of like, you know, we're going to give up on you because it was all getting a bit too hard? We hear all the time about how much meth can break apart families like that.
No, never.
Yeah, wow.
I always stuck by you. Oh, that's awesome to hear. How, if you don't mind me asking, how bad did it get when you were addicted?
Very bad. I was doing a lot of crime.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. Well, I suppose it's the roll-on effect, isn't it? It's lots of things happen to you when you're in that situation.
Yeah, you don't care. Just worry about the next lot.
Yeah. Well, you've turned it around, Erin, and all power to you. Keep going. Great work.
Thank you. I also go in the community and talk about my addiction to people in the camp, in women's camp too.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, great.
Yeah, that's wonderful.
Yeah, help others.
Erin, that's really lovely to hear, mate. Thank you for calling in and sharing your story this morning.
No worries. Thank you.
He was the club's number two draft pick in 1998 and these days calls the shots as head coach. Part of the Mix 94.5 family, please welcome Fremantle Dockers coach Justin Longmuir.
It's been a crazy couple of weeks and they are heading to Melbourne to take on Essendon this Sunday. Bounce down is at 11:10 our time, but still live from Brisbane, the coach Justin Longmuir joins us. Good morning to you, mate.
G'day, guys.
Hey, Justin, mate, I've been reading the pundits, I'll tell you, the footy pundits, and they're telling me that you are battling to get a fit 22 on the park to play the Bombers. How are injuries?
We are struggling a little bit. And we haven't had continuity with our team, but I don't want to use that as an excuse. We've got some things in our game that we need to improve on, and I think if we can get them right, we can improve pretty quickly. So, we've struggled with injury, but it's, no excuse.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Justin, Pavlich has come out and said that Fife's goal-kicking issues are mental and that he should see a psychologist about getting past those barriers. And every player would have their own processes on how they deal with situations like this. But what are you advising when Fife is knocking on your door going, what do I do?
Well, it's a bit of a mixture of both. There's a couple of little things in his technique. But, when you've kicked two goals 15 for the year, it does play on your mind a little bit. And really, until you slot a couple in a row, it's hard to get out of that. So he's just got to keep on doing the work. Once he gets another set shot on goal, he's got to try and put all the mental stuff behind him and really focus on the process. And that sounds really easy when you talk about it like I just did then. But in the moment, when the team needs you to kick a goal and you haven't kicked one for a while, then those things start creeping in and they're pretty hard to get past. So he'll keep working through it. The rest of his game's in really good order. So hopefully it clicks for him soon.
Justin, you're Fremantle champion. You're now the coach. Matthew Pavlich, former Fremantle champion. Both live in Perth. You'd cross paths. You'd see each other. When you hear him say something like that and you bump into him, are you kind of like, mate, what are you... Come on, Pav, what are you doing?
Just stay quiet.
Yeah, like, what are you doing? What do you say to him the next time you see him?
Oh, no, not at all. No, it's, he works in the media, so he's got to say something. He's got to comment. I think he's really fair with both WA teams with the way he comments on footy. And, I fully understand what he's saying, and it's probably right to some degree. So, no issues at all there.
Justin, you're playing at Marvel. I've been there a couple of times and seen the game played with the roof closed, and I found it really weird as a spectator. I mean, brilliant, but weird. As a player, does it affect anything about the way you play the game?
When you haven't played there for a while, I think it does.
Mm.
We played Carlton there early in the year, and I reckon it was really new to a lot of our young guys who had never played there, never set foot in the stadium before, so... I think it spooked a few of our younger guys that day. And now we go back there the second time. There should be some familiarity there. It is a different game, though. I feel like when the roof's on, it becomes a lot quicker. The sound of the crowd really echoes and makes it quite loud. So, it's going to be a different feeling there, especially when you drive in on the bus and it's day and then you go in there and it's nighttime. So,
it's quite eerie, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Mm.
Yep.
Hey, it was Matty Tabman's birthday this week. Happy birthday to the big man. Saw an Instagram story of the boys around a teppanyaki table. Were you with them at dinner?
No, I didn't get an invite, strangely enough.
You're joking.
After a loss, the players tried to steer clear of the senior coach a little bit.
Of course.
I saw David Hale was sitting at the table.
Yeah, I said senior coach. No, actually, David actually organised that. He's a forward line coach, so he decided to take the forwards out for dinner, which was a great exercise and looked like they had a lot of fun.
But you said, you don't deserve it and I'm not going.
We'll take you for teppanyaki when you get back to Perth, Justin.
Oh, thanks. I really appreciate it.
Good on you, mate. Lovely to catch up as always.
No worries.
Good luck against the Bombers this weekend.
Thanks, heaps.
Hey, you were telling us some connection between your dad and your dog.
Oh, yeah, a little moment ago. Yeah. Yesterday was quite the day. Towards the end of last year, there was quite the week that was going on. And I will never forget this moment as long as I live. And I was sitting at my desk. It was about 10 o'clock in the morning at home, and I got a phone call from my mum. And funnily enough, I don't know if this happens to you guys, but your sixth sense goes off a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And mine did as soon as the phone started ringing and I saw her name. And I don't know why, because it's not unusual for my mum to give me a call. Mm. And I picked the phone up, and as soon as she said hello, I knew something was going on.
Okay.
And Dad had been complaining about like some back issues for quite some time. He'd been working with my brother at the fish shop. And they thought it might be this thing called diverticulitis, which is like inflammation of the intestines and the bowel and this, that, and the other. Mm. So they went in to the hospital. They went into emergency at Murdoch and they had him checked out. And the nurse was like, ah, it's probably diver. It'll be fine. We'll just use anti-inflammatories. And apparently the nurse at that particular point after he had scans came back, looked white as a ghost and said, Sam, sorry, but it appears that we've picked up cancer.
Oh.
Yeah. Non-Hodgkin's lymphoma.
Okay.
My dad turns 60 this year. And for the next couple of weeks following that, it was an absolute roller coaster for the family because we didn't know exactly what it is that they were dealing with. They had to do their series of tests.
Mm-hmm.
Tests came back. We were all in there in the doctor's surgery with the oncologist at the time. And he said, look, it's not great news, but there is good news. And that was the fact that, you know, you do have cancer, Sam, yes, but you've got this particular type and it is treatable.
Mm.
So for the past few months, he's been undergoing chemotherapy sessions. Mm. And yesterday afternoon, I'm getting goosebumps just talking about this. Yesterday afternoon, he had his oncology appointment where he's finished his treatment. He's done his final PET scan. And the news is amazing. He is officially in remission.
Oh,
yay!
So
terrific. Good on you, Sammy.
It is just absolutely wonderful news. And it was an interesting day yesterday because he and my dog, in this weird sort of coincidental thing that's going on, have been tied in this sort of cancerous relationship at the moment.
Oh.
Because my dog has also
got cancer. Oh, bloody
hell. My dog Ranger, so he's a Rottweiler cross Kelpie, and he's had this growth on his eye for a little while, and we got it removed a couple of weeks ago. They did the tests, and yesterday, as Dad was receiving his news that he's in remission, I was with Ranger at the vet receiving his news that he's in remission.
Oh,
so wonderful news all around.
And if you're Pete's cat, get out of town.
But it was a really interesting day. We're at the vet and you know, we were getting all of this sort of news. And I will also never forget this moment as long as I live as well. There was this other dog that was in the vet. And it was a little Pomeranian. And it had just come out of surgery or something. And it had a little bandage around its arm. And this dog had this really spaced out look, tongue hanging out the side of his mouth.
Yeah.
And I was like, God, that dog looks high. He had a big smile on his face. And out came the surgeon and I overheard them talking. And sure enough, this dog was high as a kite. And it was the most, it was just a moment where I was like, everybody's smiling right now because of great news. And this dog is smiling because it's on the toke.
Well, to be, you know, totally honest, my Pomeranian looks like that almost all the time.
Really?
Well, and I look like that at 4 p.m. every day too, so.